Welcome to the perfect place for imperfect people. This is the Local Church Podcast, and we hope this message both challenges and encourages you. Here's today's message.
Today we're beginning a new series called Begin Again. Say, begin again. Here's a synopsis of what we're going to be talking about today and over the next several weeks. If you've ever wanted a fresh start, if you ever had a desire to maybe turn back the clock, to change some things so that your future and your life could be different, God wants to give us a fresh start to begin again. Nothing is more frustrating than knowing you need to change and trying to change and failing to change, where you feel like you're stuck no matter how hard you try. But let me give you a little spoiler over the next several weeks. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. What does that mean? It means the old has passed away. Behold, open your eyes, see that the new has come. This is what Easter is all about. New life, new love, new beginnings. This is the definition of the resurrection. It's the power to begin again. And most of the world knows that today is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But what I want us to understand, what I don't want us to miss today is that same power of resurrection, of starting over, of a fresh start, a new beginning, is available to every single one of us today. Over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about some habits that we can put in place to see some change and transformation in our life. And I believe that if we commit to it, we will see a lasting change. But say today. Say again, today. Today, what we need to talk about is the greatest problem. I'm so grateful you're here. Some of you, you've dressed up really, really nice and you're here to celebrate. But I'm not here to tell you things that make you feel good but won't do any good for you. Today, I want to talk about a truth that will set us free. Today, I want to share some good news, God's greatest news for all of us as his people. But before we understand the good news, we have to know that there's bad news. See, there's so many problems, there's so much bad news in this world. And underneath every single challenge, underneath every single problem, is the greatest problem. And the Bible calls that problem sin. If there were no sin, there'd be no death, no decay, no destruction. There would be no wars, no tears, no funerals. All of us would be alive. All of us would be filled with joy if there were no sin. Sin is the problem that is underneath every single one of our problems. So before we can start overcoming different challenges, we have to overcome and confront the greatest challenge, the greatest problem. And the Bible says that that is sin. So what is sin? A lot of us think that sin is when we do bad. Sin is not simply when we do bad. More appropriately, sin is when we don't do what God says is good. God is good, and God has given us a standard, say standard, a standard of how we should live. Romans 3:23 says, for everyone has sinned, for we all fall short of God's glorious standard. We all have standards, right? I hope you have standards. Young people, I hope you have standards of who you're going to date and marry one day. We all have and should have standards of what we find appropriate, what restaurant we think is worth us patroning. We all have standards, and God has a standard. And what's God's standard? Because God is perfect, God's standard is perfection. Now again, some of you, you're wearing neckties and a suit, like you did your hair, you guys look great, but I want you to turn to the person next to you, tell them, you look great, but you're not perfect. Look back at them and say, you're not perfect either. None of us are perfect, are we? No, we all make mistakes. We all fall short. We all break God's commands, don't we? All right, let's do a little poll here today. We can be honest here in this place. How many of us, by show of hands, have ever told a lie in our life? You told something that wasn't true. You made up a story. A lot of hands are up, but not every hand is up. If your hand isn't up, you're lying right now. You have lied, so put your hand up. Right? All of us have lied, yes? So if we lie, that makes us what? That makes us a liar. Okay, second question. By show of hands, let's be honest. How many of us have ever taken something that has not belonged to us at some point in our life? Yeah, a lot of hands up. You took some change out of mom's purse. You grabbed the pen from the seat back in front of you, and you put it in your purse, and you didn't bring it back to the church. So a lot of us, we've stolen before. If we steal, what does that make us? No, it makes us lying thieves, because we've already admitted to sinning and falling short when it comes to telling the truth. These are just two of God's 10 commands, and all of us are guilty. All of us have fallen short of his standard of perfection. And even if we just make one mistake, that still makes us imperfect. It's sin. Sin includes our thoughts. How many of us are glad that people can't read our minds, right? God can. Sin includes our words. We've all said words that are untruthful, that are hurtful. We've all said words to maybe put someone down, or we reacted in traffic and said something we wish we could take back. The Bible says that's sin. Sin also includes our motives. Sometimes we do something that looks good, but we do it out of a bad heart. We do it to manipulate, to seduce, to change someone for our benefit. The Bible says that is sin. In addition, sin also includes commission, sins of commission where we don't do what is right, or sins of omission where commission is when we do things that are wrong, omission is when we don't do things that are right. We are sinful by the things we do and the things that we don't do, every single one of us. And even if you don't believe God's word that gives us his standard, every day our heart holds a court and convicts us that we are sinners. Some of us, we feel this conviction by the guilt and the shame of our sin. I did something I wasn't supposed to. I hurt somebody that I loved, and we feel this guilt and we feel this way. Some of us, we pass blame and we make excuses for what we've done. But again, it doesn't matter if our culture doesn't believe God's word. We all come to the same conclusion that all of us are sinful. And we summarize that in a statement that all of us have said at some point in our life. Nobody's perfect. You ever said that? Yeah, I made a mistake, but nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect is just another way of saying that all of us are sinful. Sin is a curse that every single one of us has been born with. No one has to teach a toddler how to tell a lie, right? I have 3 kids, and all 3 of them, I've caught them in telling lies before they could articulate a full sentence. I remember the first time my son lied to me. I'm like, did you color on the wall? He's like, no, Dad, I didn't. Then why do you have a marker in your hand? And why is there a marker all over your chest and your face? I don't know. You liar! Like, I'm raising these little liars, right? We feel that sometimes. Here's the thing. I sin too. We all sin. We all have sinned. We've all fallen short of God's standard. And because we've fallen short of God's standard of perfection, the Bible says, because he's God, he's creator, he makes the rules, and we've broken the rules, the Bible says that there is a price to pay. There is a penalty for our sin. Now let me say this as we continue. Sin sometimes is fun. Amen? Can we say amen to that in church? Yes. If sin wasn't fun, we wouldn't do it, right? Sin sometimes feels good, but there's always a price to pay for sin. Let me put it this way. It's like you go to the best restaurant in South Florida, 3 Michelin stars. Everyone's talking about it. 6 months to get a reservation. You get the reservation and you dress up that evening. You go there with someone that you love and you're looking at the menu and you're just overwhelmed with the excitement. We're finally here and you don't know what you're reading because it's all in French and you just start ordering things and then you begin to eat it and it's like, is this a unicorn that we're eating? It tastes so magical. Everything's so delicious. And you have an incredible fun experience at this restaurant, but then the bill comes and you're looking at it and you're saying, what in the world? There's no free refills on the water? It's just water. Aren't palm frites, isn't that French fries? Why were they $35? And you look at this bill and you begin to think, maybe this wasn't worth it. Maybe we should have just eaten at home, but you still have to pay the bill. Does that make sense? Let me put it, okay, maybe like me, you're hashtag broke, hashtag on a budget. That doesn't resonate with you. Let me put it in a way that I think a lot of us can understand. Sin is like Taco Bell. You get it? It's good. You can eat. Inexpensive. It's cheap. And you will leave satisfied. Man, this was so good. And even though it was cheap, there is a price to pay. Sooner or later, every trip to Taco Bell leads to the taco bathroom. This is why their motto is make a run for the border. That's literally what you do. But when it comes to sin, the payment is not indigestion or an upset stomach. The penalty that is due, the Bible says, is our life. Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. The penalty for breaking God's perfect law is death. It's eternal separation from the presence of God. That's hell. Because we are imperfect, we cannot be in the presence of a perfect and holy God. Therefore, our sin has separated us from Him forever. And that's the bad news that we need to understand, the bad news of our sin. But turn to your neighbor and tell them, there's good news this Easter. There's good news for us. Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, there's no cost to it, is eternal life, is to live forever in Christ Jesus our Lord. The only perfect person to ever walk the face of this earth, he was Jesus. He was fully God, fully man. He walked this earth. And the Bible said that all the same temptation that we endured, that we experienced, Jesus experienced. He understood. He knew what it was like to be stabbed in the back by someone. He knew what it was like to be around a bunch of annoying idiots who drove him crazy, yet he did not sin. And because he was perfect, he's the free gift of God for our salvation. I want you to turn to someone and tell them, done, not do. Turn to someone behind you now. Tell them, done, not do. What is this Dr. Seuss alliteration he's talking about? I want you to know, I've titled today's teaching, Done, Not Do, because everything that we need to be in right standing and relationship with God forever has already been done by Jesus. It's nothing that we can do on our own. Romans 5:6 puts it this way. It says, when we were utterly helpless, when there was no hope, when we couldn't do it, Christ came just at the right time and died for us sinners. We couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't right the wrongs. We couldn't make our way back to God. So what did he do? He came down to be with us. He lived the life that we could not live. He died the death that we deserved to pay. He rose again. And this is how we can begin again. I have three quick points for us today, and then one point of action. I want you to write this down. To begin again requires God's work for us. Again, it's done. It's not due. He came down and he did all the work. Romans 5:7, it says, now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. True or false? How many of us are willing to die for a stranger that may have done something good? Not a whole lot of us. Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. A lot of us are saying, yeah, I might die for my spouse. I might die for my grandpa. But God, listen to this. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. I want you to understand today that we don't work for God's love. We work from it. While we were still sinful, he still loved us. While we are running away from him, he was pursuing after us. He so loves us. Jesus, again, he lived the life that we should have lived and died the death that we should have died. And he put us in his place. He traded places with us. He experienced the condemnation of sin so that we can experience a new life. His relationship with the Heavenly Father was severed for several minutes because of our sin so that our relationship with our Heavenly Father could be started. He experienced condemnation so we can experience salvation. And then he died in our place, washing all of our sin away. And death, which is the penalty of sin, was now conquered because Jesus died for us. But here's the beauty of Easter. He didn't stay dead. Jesus came back. He rose again. He resurrected to new life. And for 40 days following his resurrection, he appeared to groups of like 50 at a time. His friends, his family members, even his enemies, they saw him walking. And they all attested to Jesus came back from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus is a very public, historic event that's recorded in scriptures and in history. And the reason for me sharing that, the point of that is that there is life after death. In fact, real life didn't start until after Jesus died. That's his work for us. That's what Jesus did for us. That's how we can begin again. But he doesn't just want to do a good work for us. He wants to do a work in us. Write this down. To begin again, it reveals, it shows us God's work in us. See, the resurrection isn't a finish line that we get to. It's a starting line that we grow from. God wants to do a work in us after we receive his work for us. And what he does essentially is he makes us new. He allows us to have a fresh start and begin again. I could talk for the next 20, 30, 45 minutes about how he makes us new, but in your notes I wrote some just four quick points and some passages of some things that he has done to make us new that will affect the rest of our eternity. I want you to write this down. To begin again means I am a new creation. I am a new creation. I've been made new again. The old me is gone. The old way of living, the old thinking, the old shame, all of it is gone. No more archaeology, meaning no more digging up the past. We are new in him. To begin again, it means that I have a new power. Again, we said this, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available and inside of all of us. Some are like, I don't have the power to change. I don't have the power to see transformation. You don't, but he does. He has the power to break generational curses. He has the power to overcome addiction. He has the power to restore broken relationships. He has the power to bring our prodigal children back home. We have a new power because of him when we begin again. To begin again means that I have a new heart. Some of us, our hearts have grown hardened from the trauma. We've grown desensitized because of the world and sin pressing in on us. And God looks at us and he says, I'm going to reach in and I'm going to pull out that heart of stone and I'm going to give you a new heart of flesh that beats for me, that loves the same things that I love. And all of a sudden we're like something different is happening inside of me. I'm loved by God, but now I find myself loving other people that I didn't love before. I've been forgiven by God, and now I find myself being able to forgive them. How did that happen? God's been patient with me, and now I'm praying to have patience with other people. What is it? It's the new heart that he's given us. And lastly, to begin again means I get a new love. 1 John 4:7-8, it says, beloved, I love that word, beloved, beloved. It's like a father or a grandfather speaking to his children that he so cares for. It says, beloved, let us love one another. Well, how do we do that? It says, where love is from God, and anyone who has been born of God and knows God knows love, for God is love. Some of us were wondering, can we be loved? I've done nothing to deserve the love of God. I've only failed. I've only sinned. But God still loves you. It's called grace. We get a new love. I remember the first time I held my firstborn in my hand. Little kid, just born, looking ugly, didn't do anything. Didn't do anything impressive, but yet I loved him. And when I looked at my son for the first time, I knew I would die for this kid. I mean, I would not have died for many people during that time. Maybe my wife. We've been married for 16 years. I would definitely die for my wife today, but back then, I'm not sure. But I look at my son, I would die for him. Perfect place for imperfect people. I'm just being honest, right? Today, definitely. I'll take 25 bullets. But back then, I don't know. Looking at my son, I know I will die for this kid. He did nothing, but yet I love him so much I would lay down my life for him. And then when I held my daughter for the first time in my hands, again, she didn't do anything. She was just born. But I loved her so much. Just like I would die for my son, I knew I would kill for my daughter. Maybe not cross that line. Maybe, definitely go to jail. This is like God's love for us. We haven't done anything except for exist. But he so loves us. He's done everything. He wants us to know his love. He's paid the price for our sin. He died the death that we deserve. And that love, that new love that we get, gives us a confidence to step forward into the future he has for us. Third thing I want you to understand. To begin again, it renews. It opens up our eyes to see God's work through us. Because of the power of the resurrection of Jesus for us and in us, now God, what he wants to do is he wants to work through us. He has a purpose for us. You are not an accident. Maybe to mom and dad you were an oopsie, but to God, he hand-fashioned you. You have a purpose. God has a plan for your life. He has a destiny for you. Ephesians 2:8, listen to this. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done. It's what he has done, not what we can do. So none of us can boast about it. Verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. I don't just want you to hear that. I want you to receive that. You are his masterpiece. Everything about you, he hand-fashioned. He looks at you and says, it is good. You are his masterpiece. He has created us anew, caused us to begin again in Christ Jesus. Why? So we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. That's God working through you. Now, we're going to talk about this in the upcoming weeks of this teaching series. I'm not going to talk about it today, but let me just tell you in advance that I'm so excited to talk about all the ways that God wants to work in and through us. I want to encourage you that when you begin again, God has a series of open doors and open opportunities for you to experience his love for you. God wants to show up in your life in significant ways and show off in ways that you've never imagined. He has work for you to do. He has a purpose for your life. He has ministry for you to be part of. He has a family to surround you, to love you, to encourage you, to fight for you. There's so much he wants you to learn and so many ways he wants you to grow so you can be who he's dreamed of you being and created you to be. This is the work that he wants to do through us as we begin again. And so today, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, he wants to bring a rebirth. If you're looking for a fresh start, today is a day for a new beginning. Today you can have the fresh start that your soul desires. Which leads me to the final point. Our action. Our commitment today. Write this down. The fresh start of resurrection starts with a first step to receive. The fresh start of resurrection, it starts with a first step to receive. As we conclude today, I want to talk to two groups of people here today. The first group is what the Bible would call a prodigal. It's someone who has walked away. Maybe you grew up in a Christian home. Maybe you went to a Christian school. Maybe you attended a church for a long time, but you found yourself walking away. Maybe you've been coming to church for quite some time and you know a whole lot about God, but you don't have a relationship with him because you've turned your back to believe that he can do the impossible in your life. Can I tell you, today is a day for you to turn back home. We all have our stories. We all have our stumbles. There's no shame in this place. He's been pursuing after you. Even though you've run away, if you look back right now, you'll see that he's very near, with a smile on his face, with arms wide open to receive you. Today, for some of you, is the day for you to come back home to God's love for you and to begin again. And then some of you in here, you need a fresh start. You need a new beginning. Maybe you were searching after a hope in religion, and today you now know that there is hope in a relationship with a God that so loves you, who wants to give you a rebirth and a resurrection today. Jesus is the most important person in all of history. Jesus' resurrection is the most important event in all of history. It literally split time as we know it. And the most important decision that you will ever make in this life is whether you will receive him as your friend and savior or you will reject his free gift of salvation for you today. I want to make this very clear. Today is the day. This time is a time of decision. In just a few moments, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask everyone to stand to their feet. And then after I ask you guys to stand to your feet, I'm going to count down from 3 to 1. And if you need a fresh start, if you need to come back home prodigal, if you need to step into the future, the life, the love that God has for you today, I want you to come forward. Coming forward is a symbol that today on Easter 2024, I stepped into new life. Just a few weeks, we're going to celebrate baptism, which is a symbol of the new life we have in him. A few weeks ago, we celebrated with communion, which is a symbol of the covenant, the promise that God has for us. I'm going to ask you to step forward as a symbol that you would know that today, Easter Sunday 2024, I've left my old life behind, my old way of thinking, my old sin, my old shame, and I've stepped forward into newness of life, into love, into resurrection power. Would you stand to your feet right now? We have some prayer counselors. Prayer counselors, would you come forward right now? I'm going to count down from 3 to 1. And when I say 1, I want you to meet us up here. I want you to meet me and meet our prayer counselors. Because we want to celebrate with you. We want to give you a hug and a high five. We want to put a Bible in your hand and help you take some next steps to grow in this fresh start, to begin again today. And church family, if you've already made that decision, here's what I want you to do. When people come forward, I want you to celebrate. I want you to erupt in so much applause and yelling and screaming and celebrating so that they will know that they're not alone. I'm going to count down from 3 to 1. And when I say 1, if you're a prodigal, if you need a new beginning, that you would step forward and know that you stepping forward, coming forward to be with us up here may also be a symbol for someone else in this place who may be a guest today, who may not be familiar with church, that when they see just one person come forward, they'll know I'm not alone. I can step forward into my destiny. I can step forward into my new life. Today, Jesus wants to bring resurrection to every one of us. Are you ready? 3. He so loves you. He sent his son to live and to die, to rise again. 2, there's a fresh start. There's a new beginning, a new life for you as you come forward. 1, would you celebrate and come forward right now? Come on, church, and celebrate. Come forward all across this room. Step forward into new life. Take a step of faith for a fresh start and a new beginning. You are loved. Your sins are forgiven. Your life will never be the same. Today is a new day. There's new life. There's resurrection power. All your shame at this moment has all been washed away by the blood of Jesus. Welcome to the family of God. Things will never be the same again. You can continue to come forward if you need so. Prayer counselors, would you do me a favor? Would you just lay your hands on these people who've come forward right now? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for you. And everyone, who you can still come forward if you need to receive this fresh start. But church family, would you just stretch out your hands and let's pray for these people who step forward into new beginning today. And there's nothing magical about prayer. It's simply communication with God. You taking a step of faith is showing God that I want this new beginning, but I just want to help you. I want to pray with you. And if you would repeat this after me, I just want to give you some words so that you can surrender yourself to Him today. Church Familia, would you pray this out loud with me? Worship team, would you pray this out loud with me? Aloud together so they know they're not alone. Would you pray this? Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, but you're my Savior, and I receive your forgiveness. I thank you so much for new life. I may not know all of what it means to make this decision, but I've decided to follow you today. So put your name in me, fill me with your Spirit, give me hope for my tomorrow. Let me know that things will never be the same. I'm a child of God, a friend of God, forgiven of all my sin. And today I have a fresh start. Thank you, Jesus, for this new life. I love you. I'll follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on, church.
Thank you for listening to the Local Church Podcast. If you enjoyed today's message, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast and review and share what you learned today. You can connect with us at thelocalchurch.com or by searching The Local Church on your favorite social media platforms. We hope you join us next week for a brand new episode. And remember, you matter to God and you matter to us.